And greetings, everyone. Welcome to this Monday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson with you once again. I'll be here this week, but a week from today, the brand new host for our noon show will be here, Todd Herman. Heard him in a brief interview on Today's Issues this morning, and really excited about Todd coming, a guy with a lot of experience on the air, but a guy who loves the heart of the Lord, and it's going to be a terrific program. So, Lord willing, we're going to be talking with Todd a little bit on Friday on this program, so you can get to know him a little bit, and then, of course, he'll be taking over the chair on Monday. He told the audience this morning that he hails from a small town in North Idaho, so knows a little bit about the West Coast. He lived in Seattle for about 20 years and survived living in that liberal enclave. So quite exciting to hear that Todd will be coming with us, that show beginning a week from today. But today's show, we want to go back actually to something we talked about on Friday. We told you about a showdown that was occurring between a public library in Huntsville, Alabama, and Kurt Cameron. Kurt Cameron and Brave Books were scheduled. You may remember the issue. Were scheduled to hold an event last Saturday at that library. But at about the last minute on the Thursday preceding that, the library said, sorry, we're canceling the event. We think there are going to be too many people here. Well, Liberty Institute, Christian legal organization, got involved and basically gave them until noon last Friday to respond, or they were going to take legal action against that library. Well, late on Friday afternoon, the library backed down and the event went ahead as scheduled. And they had a huge crowd, at least 250 people there to listen to Kirk Cameron. You know, the event is all about at these libraries, and if you're familiar with Kirk Cameron's campaign across the country, get into libraries, read good Christian wholesome books to people who show up. And it's really to counter what libraries across the country have been doing, inviting these drag queen events. You know, libraries, they seem to want to keep pornography on their shelves and all this sort of thing. And Kirk Cameron has decided to fight back. Well, at the event in Huntsville on Saturday also, All-American swimmer Riley Gaines was there. And, of course, she's become well-known across the country for fighting the battle against men who claim they are girls. In her case, she was an all-star American swimmer, and she had to compete against a guy, calls himself Leah Thomas. And so she's been out there saying it's not fair to women's sports to allow these men who claim they are girls to compete. So this is a battle, folks, that's going to continue. The American Library Association, the national organization, is run by a woman who self-describes herself as a Marxist lesbian. And we also played on Friday's program kind of a phone call that went out to libraries across the country giving them tips on how to deal with Kirk Cameron when he comes calling and wanting to use that taxpayer-funded facility. And let us remind everybody, your local library is taxpayer-funded. You have a right, just as like everybody else, to say, I don't want this kind of garbage on the shelves. I don't want kind of performances with drag queens coming in here. So the battle will continue, but for that incident over the weekend, Kirk Cameron and Brave Books, they won the battle that day. You know, it was very interesting, too. They started off the event with a Pledge of Allegiance, and then they led the group in singing God Bless America. You know, that's what we need to return to in this country. Emily Jones is with the group Moms for Liberty, and she's saying the American Library Association is going to continue its campaign, and folks are just going to have to fight back. Cut number one.
The host being Brave Books and Kirk Cameron, and the fact that we're bringing biblical values back to our libraries. I found out yesterday from a friend in Prattville, Alabama, which is in the southern part of the state, they were canceled yesterday afternoon. So there seems to be a trend here that we're canceling events at the last minute that are Kirk Cameron based. They're Brave Books based. They're Christian based. And every single time it's because of logistics or security concerns. It's not a coincidence that we keep hearing that same message over and over and over from the same institution.
So it's another call to folks for people to be vigilant in their communities, people to find out what's going on at your local library, and speak up if you're finding that there's material in those libraries that's not appropriate for young children. But also, if Kirk Cameron is going to hold an event in your town or in a community near your town, be sure to get out there and support that. Because as our spokesman there for Moms for Liberty, Emily Jones, just pointed out, it's part of a campaign across the country to stop Kirk Cameron from coming in and reading these books. It's, you know, they like to use the word ban. They're trying to ban books. They use phrases like, let's phrase, it's gaslighting, you know, there's going to be book burning in this community. No, it's people like you who are going out there and saying, no, this is not reflecting community values. That's the bottom line in all of this. We want our library to reflect community values, not the values of Hollywood, not the values of the far left. We want pornography kept out of our libraries. And that's what has happened. And that's what has happened in many communities across the country. Let's face it, you know, many conservatives, pro-family people kind of trusted the local library that they wouldn't have this kind of material in there. But, you know, let's face it, while we were sitting back and having this trust, the liberals were moving in, just like they moved in and our public education system across the country. And once again, I know there are good Christian teachers out there in our public school system. But, you know, for the most part, it is a school system that takes your child and wants to impose secular, ungodly values in their system. That's what Governor DeSantis has been fighting against down in Florida. And, you know, the kind of lashing that he has taken from the mainstream media and from others. All right, another deadline of sorts in place today. Courts dealing with former President Trump in Washington have given the Trump team until 5 o'clock Eastern today to respond to what they're calling a protection order. Basically, the special prosecutor that was assigned by the Biden Justice Department wants the Trump people not to talk publicly about the evidence that the special prosecutor has against the former president. And there was indictments that he is facing with regards to his conversations, his efforts to put a hold on the election results until they could be examined in the courts. He's facing several indictments on that front. But the prosecutor, Jack Smith, wants the Trump team not to be able to discuss publicly the evidence that's there against him. Now, of course, the prosecutor, Jack Smith, when he announced the charges last Tuesday, right after the Hunter Biden's business partner testified before Congress, very interesting timing. The very next day, to remove that testimony from the headlines, we had Jack Smith coming out announcing the indictments. But he kind of went out there and told the American public the case that they had against the former president. So what's being said by Trump lawyers is, hey, Jack Smith's been out there talking about this with the public, the evidence against the former president, at least the evidence according to Jack Smith. And the lawyers are saying, why shouldn't we be able to go out there and defend our client against these charges? Anyway, that deadline is in place for 5 o'clock Eastern time today. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. All right, coming up after the break, this is Revival Fires Week here at American Family Radio, Truth for Youth, about getting Bibles into the hands of students in our school system. We're going to be talking with Tim Todd, who heads all that effort up right after the break. You're listening to The Awakening on a Monday. Fred here. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this Monday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson here. This is, as I was just mentioning to you, National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. Hey, if you've been listening to American Family Radio any amount of time, you're very familiar with this campaign that we have yearly. And the guy who kind of heads this campaign is a major cheerleader of it all. Joins me in studio right now, Tim Todd. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Yes, we've known each other for almost as long as I've been here.
Yes.
How long has this campaign been going on?
This is the 23rd year.
23rd. Well, I've been here 26.
Yes.
So yeah, we've been greeting you for this Truth for Youth Bible Week. For those who may not be familiar, and there may be a few people out there, can you kind of take us through how this got started and what it's all about?
Well, years ago, my dad, Cecil Todd, and myself had a meeting with the Minister of Education over all of the public schools of Russia.
Oh.
And we were given permission to put Bibles as textbooks in the public schools of Russia. This was 1991.
Wow.
And in that meeting, the Minister of Education over all the schools, he looked at us and through an interpreter, he said, "What kind of a Bible project do you have for America's public schools?" And we had to tell him, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out.
Wow.
We came back to America with a burden on our hearts stronger than ever before and made a determination that if the public schools of Russia could have Bibles, that the young people in the public schools of America should have the same right too.
Okay. All right. Somebody listening right now, this is about getting Bibles in the hands of public school students. What is your campaign doing to make that happen?
What we do is we have a special designed Bible for young people, New Testament, that consists of the entire New Testament along with in the God's Word translation, along with comic stories that deal with the truth about things that young people are confronted with on a regular basis. And we deal with hard-hitting issues. And in that, we put the plan of salvation in each one of the stories. So they not only find out the truth about things like cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, honor, witchcraft, homosexuality.
Yeah.
We deal with issues like abortion, evolution. We deal with the truth about sexual purity. The Bible says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We take that Bible and put it into the hands of Christian young people who will commit to give it to their friends in school that don't know Jesus. And as a result of it, through the partnership with American Family Radio, Revival Fires, we've been able to give away more than 1.2 million Bibles in the past 23 years, 22 and a half years. And we feel like we're just scratching the surface because God has done a tremendous work. More than 25,000 decision cards from young people that have been saved for the first time that we know about.
Yes.
And so we're thankful for what God is in the process of doing.
Now, last year, during this week, we got 60,000 Bibles out.
Yes.
We're aiming for 65,000. 65,000
this year.
Listen, folks, you can do it. This is a great audience on this program, the Awakening audience. Bishop Jackson, he's gone off to run for president of the United States. So we're keeping house for him for a few weeks, and then we have our new host coming in a week from today. All right. So here's the game plan. If you have somebody, you're listening right now, you're a mom and dad or a grandparent, and you have somebody in your house that goes to public school, you have a Christian son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter. If I'm going to give the number right now, 833-574-1600, 833-574-1600. That is the number to call. Somebody back in Louisiana where you're based is going to pick up that phone. What are they going to say?
They're going to tell them that they can get one Bible per teenager, per household, parents and grandparents, and we want you to commit to that young person giving that Bible away in their school to somebody in their school that's not serving the Lord, and as a result of it, watch God work.
All right. I want to play a testimony for you right now, folks, of someone who took part in this and what happened. Here we go.
There's this girl in my school that always tried to talk to me about Jesus, but I would never really listen to her because she wasn't very cool and she didn't like to party or anything. But one day she came up to me and said that Tim Todd was challenging young people to give away Truth for Youth Bibles in school. So she ordered me one, gave it to me, and now I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord. I just went to the decision page, read the instructions, and gave my heart to Jesus, and my life is changed forever. And hey, if you want to send me some Truth for Youth Bibles, I can give them to other young people so that they can be saved too.
All right, so there's another aspect to this. Once again, the number, 833-574-1600. 833-574-1600, or you can visit truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com. They call, got a son, got a daughter, send me the Bible. How much does it cost?
The Bibles cost only $2 each to print.
$2 each to print. But there's no charge on this one.
No, absolutely. So if somebody calls and say, hey, I've got a child or a grandchild mm-hmm. between the ages of 13 to 18 years old, they get that Bible free of charge, no strings attached. We pay the shipping. We pay for the Bibles. And actually, we've got people that donate to the ministry yeah. that help us offset that expense. So when somebody calls for that Bible, mm-hmm. They're not having to pay for that Bible. If they want to get extra copies, they can get extra copies at a very discounted cost. But the Bible they're getting for their child or grandchild, 13 to 18 years old, that will commit to give it away in school, no charge at all for that Bible.
Yeah, we were talking earlier today about projects for youth groups. Now, you can send out a box of these Bibles. What, 50 Bibles in
yeah,
a box?
50 Bibles to a box. Only $2 each per okay. Bible.
Per Bible. What a great project for a young
yes.
people's group to get Scripture out there. You know, Tim, we were talking about the state of our public schools. And as I always say, I know there are good Christian teachers out there.
Yes.
I understand that. But our public schools have changed from the days you and I were going to public schools.
Yes, they have.
They've become, I think, incubators for Marxism, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
And if you need proof of that, folks, listen to American Family Radio. We're doing stories on this all the time. We were just talking about Kirk Cameron, who's been out there going to libraries. You know, we're talking about public libraries, but in school libraries, there's a real battle right now for the kind of material that's on the shelves. This is a counter to this.
It's amazing that in so many of our public schools, sorcery and witchcraft in the library is welcome. Mm-hmm. And yet in some of those very same libraries, the Bible is not welcome.
Yeah.
And in 1963, with a court case that came before the Supreme Court, we took the Bible out of school, and our nation has never been the same since. We came number one mm-hmm. in illiteracy, teenage pregnancy, illegal drugs, the divorce rate, and it can all be accurately traced back to the year we took the Bible out of school. I say we need, and as a result of it, the devil has moved in, made a playground.
Yes.
I say we need to get the Word of God back in school. This is one way that we can do it legally. Students' legal rights on public school campus we put on the back of the Truth for Youth Bible so that our young people will know that legally they have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. They take them to school, make soul winners out of those Christian young people. The young people getting the Bibles are giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them, and we're getting the Word of God back in school.
Give the number once again.
It is 833-574-1600, 833-574-1600, or go to truthforyouth.com.
Revival Fires International, you're going beyond public schools. Tell us a little bit about what else you're doing.
Well, we've actually given away from 1991 to about 1999, we've given away over 1 million Bibles to Russian Red Army soldiers.
Wow.
2.5 million Bibles to the young people in the Russian public schools as textbooks. We've given away over 1.4 million Bibles in Cuba. We have given away over 100,000 Bibles at the border to illegal immigrants coming into America ages 13 to 18 years old in the facilities and are able to preach the gospel and give them Bibles. So God is doing a great work. We give Bibles away in prison. We give away, and it's amazing at how many people that are in prison that listen to American Family Radio. I didn't find that out till my weekly broadcast started on Sunday mornings, and we get masses of requests for Bibles, and we never turn one down. So we're thanking God for what the Lord is doing through Revival Fires.
And you mentioned about giving it to illegal immigrants. Now, we're opposed to illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
But these people need to get saved.
That's right. They're coming whether we want them to or not. And when they stand before God, the Lord won't ask them if they have a green card.
Yes.
And the Lord won't ask them if they're a citizen of the United States. Mm-hmm. All that will matter is that they're citizens of heaven.
Yes.
And so as long as they're coming in, we're going to give them a Bible, give them an opportunity to be saved. And we have testimonies of young people that have gone back to, because a lot of them don't make it into America. They go to those facilities. They might go into foster care or a sponsored home, but a lot of them are sent right back home.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of testimonies of young people that went back home after giving their heart to the Lord and led their families to the Lord.
Isn't that incredible? Hey, listen, incredible testimonies, folks. And you can be involved with this ministry right now. 833-574-1600, 833-574-1600, or go to truthforyouth.com. Tim, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care. Listen, folks, this is your way of going on the mission field. So simple to do. 833-574-1600. All right. Much more ahead here on this Monday edition of The Awakening. We'll be right back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the normal pursuit of life, the average person of 70 has spent 3 years in education, 8 years in amusement, 6 years in eating, 11 years in working, 24 years in sleeping, 5.5 years in washing and dressing, 6 years in walking, 3 years in conversation, 3 years in reading, and 1.5 year in worshiping God. You know, we're all equal when it comes to the amount of time we have. Now, we may be different in every other aspect of life, but in time, we're all equal. Each of us has 24 hours every day. No more, no less. What we do with our time is determined by what we consider important. We have time for our business because we consider it important. We have time for recreation because we consider it important. We have time for the family because the family is important. The things we consider most important, we always have time for. The things we consider less important, we leave for a more convenient time. The person who doesn't have time for God has identically the same amount of time as the person who always has time for God. It's simply a matter of priorities, the things we consider most important. Never use a busy schedule as an excuse for ignorance in spiritual matters. If we consider God important enough, we'll find time for Him. The person who doesn't have time for the church doesn't consider the church very important, regardless of what he says. One person can drive for hours to get to a ball game, make plans for weeks in advance to be certain he has the time to go. But that same person can't block out a single hour to worship God or to drive 3 minutes to participate in the church worship service. It's simply a matter of what we consider more important. You know, I knew a person who spent 12 to 15 hours each week keeping his yard in immaculate condition, but he never took 60 minutes to check the condition of his soul. A beautiful yard was more important than a beautiful soul. It was simply a matter of priorities. One thing the Galilean does is to help us keep our priorities in proper perspective. He solved this matter of priorities one day on a mountainside above the Sea of Galilee. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." That one statement solves the problem of what is most important in life. What life needs is a proper balance, always making sure that the most important things are in the most important places.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to The Awakening. Fred Jackson in today. I'll be with you on Wednesday and on Friday. And as we mentioned, our brand new host for this noon Central Time slot, Todd Herman, is going to be joining us for an interview on Friday and then taking over the show next Monday. And Todd comes with a lot of experience and a real passion for the things of the Lord. So you're gonna enjoy it, folks. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about what happened at the library in Huntsville, Alabama. They initially were about to reject an event last Saturday with Kirk Cameron wanting to come in and simply have a time, a patriotic time, a time of reading good, wholesome books. And the library said, no, not going to allow that, cancel the event because we think it's going to be too popular. Too many people are going to show up. Well, they got a legal threat, the library did, from Liberty Institute, and they backed down. And it was a terrific event on Saturday. Kirk Cameron was there, plus All-American swimmer Riley Gaines. And so we've been talking about we have to be vigilant these days. We were just talking with Tim Todd. We also have to be vigilant as parents about what's going on in our public schools. Very interesting, and I keep going back to Loudoun County in Virginia. And that's where I think the initial battle in these recent days started when parents found out what was going on in the schools there, and they fought back. And did they ever fight with a vengeance? And that led to a change in the state government after they spoke up about what was being taught in the schools. And, of course, transgenders were allowed to go into girls' bathrooms. And one girl was raped in that case. First, the school district denied it, transferred that student, transgender student, to another school. And there was another assault there. So we know what's going on. And we have now examples of this, folks. We have to be vigilant. And, of course, we know what's going on politically in this country right now. So 888-589-8840. Been a lot of reaction in the last couple of days to the latest indictments against former President Donald Trump. He's now been indicted. And the judge that's going to hear this case, I don't know, her name is Judge Tanya Jethkin. That's her name. She was appointed by Barack Obama. She is the judge that has been overseeing a lot of the cases against those that have been charged in connection with the January 6th riot. It was not an insurrection. It was a riot at the U.S. Capitol. And she is, I would say, it's comfortable in saying she is an activist judge. She has been sentencing some of these people. And we're not excusing some of the behavior there, but she has been sentencing some of these people in excess of what the prosecution has been asking. And she's had an encounter with the former president on some other matters before. So it's no surprise that Trump attorney Alina Habba is going to be asking for that judge to recuse herself. Here's the Trump attorney, Alina Habba, cut number three.
I think she should recuse herself. The problem we have with this system, which is a bit broken in my opinion, is that when you ask for a recusal from a judge like this, who's been involved with Fusion GPS cases, which was the Russia hoax, as you know, who has clear links to Hunter Biden in a law firm, clearly anybody with ethics and sensibility would say, I cannot fairly oversee this case. Unfortunately, the judges themselves have to be the ones that decide this.
You know, it's very interesting. Once again, what we're seeing in the wake, and this is the third set of indictments. First, there was the one in New York against the former president. There are the multiple indictments, charges against the former president with regards to documents found at Mar-a-Lago. And now this one, there could be another one coming involving Georgia. So there could be a total of four different venues all going at the former president. But what has the Democrats and the mainstream media perplexed is that the popularity of the former president just keeps rising all the time. He's up by 40, at least 40 points in some polls against his nearest Republican rival, and that would be the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. And so the Democrats just are troubled by this. We found out last week that former President Barack Obama has had a meeting with Joe Biden saying, you better pay attention to Donald Trump because he's a real threat. The question is, and this is on uncharted territories in this country, could we have a president, a former president, now running for president again in 24? Could we have a president that could be in prison? Could he be found guilty and in prison? And what happens then? I tell you, if you can have debates about Trump's behavior, his language sometimes, all of those sort of things. But I think in this country, there is a feeling that this man has been under attack by a very prejudiced Justice Department since the day he took office. The whole Russia collusion thing, and on, impeached twice when the Democrats control the House. All of these things, other court decisions that have gone on. But what remains true is it seems that no one is going to be able to offset where the president is. It was really interesting on the weekend. NBC's Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, he was kind of asking the question out loud. What's going to happen? How is it that after all of these indictments, this man remains so popular? Cut number five.
The Republican dynamic in this primary only changes if there is general election polling showing Trump losing by more than 5 points. If we get to that moment, then all of a sudden the whole idea that he can't win is actually something that voters might contemplate. But right now, the biggest thing that benefits Donald Trump is the fact that it's a tied race. And I always ask this question: what is it? Does it say more about Trump or Biden that a thrice indicted former president is tied with the current president?
Well, let me try to answer that question posed by Chuck Todd. I think it's a whole lot of both, quite frankly. When you look at Joe Biden's numbers, when you look at the polls, I think it was the New York Times last week, the latest poll from them had Biden down around 37%. 37%. Now, Democrats say if he's at the top of the ticket, they will still vote for him. But the American public, especially on the issue of the economy, Joe Biden is under. He is way under. Democrats probably wish they had somebody else. You know, like some people keep talking about Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, apparently, he has agreed to have a debate with Governor DeSantis at some point. That should be very interesting. And I think, Fox is going to cover that live. I think Sean Hannity will be the moderator. Should be very interesting. You talk about two politicians with two very different set of values. But, you know, Gavin Newsom earlier in the year denied that he was interested in running for president. Very few people believe him on that front. I think he's very interested in the job. I think the reality is the Democrats really wish there was somebody else beside Biden, and they're really not so hot on Vice President Kamala Harris also. We're in this particular situation we've never been in this country, where you have a sitting president who's extremely unpopular, who is blamed for the economic condition of the country. He's out there trying to sell Bidenomics, as they're calling it. And by the way, he's going to hit the road this week trying to sell that across the country, but people aren't buying it. You talk about gasoline prices being part of the problem. Gasoline prices, in case you haven't noticed, have gone up dramatically. Randy, just have cut number 7 ready. Gas prices are up, and Joe Biden is at least partially to blame. All right. When we come back, I want to play you that cut from Stuart Varney of Fox, because he is well aware of who is to blame here. It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden went to war against our fossil fuel industry the moment he came into office. Let us not forget that. All right, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You know, folks, it's about spiritual warfare across this country. Even in our politics right now, it's a set of values, biblical values versus humanistic values. That's what this is all about. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Want to hear your verdict on that when we come back. You're listening to the Monday edition of The Awakening. Fred sitting in here. We're back to talk to you when we come back. And welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about another problem for the Democrats and Joe Biden is that gas prices are on the rise once again, up at least 30 cents in some markets across the country. This in the midst of Joe Biden going across the country right now and saying Bidenomics are doing great things for the country. Well, not so. If in any way you're depending certainly on gas to get you from point A to point B, and oil prices are going up, diesel oil prices are going up, and we know what kind of impact that has on delivering of goods. It raises the cost of those goods, groceries, and so you pay more for it when you go to the grocery store. Stuart Varney is an economic analyst at Fox, and he was talking about this morning, cut number 7.
Up goes the price. I blame Biden for at least some of this, because he's the guy, he's the president who said the leader of Saudi Arabia is a pariah.
Right.
Leader MBS, leader of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
They promptly went out and cut production. Biden stopped oil production or reduced it in the United States, so we have to go begging to Venezuela to produce more oil. Right. You cut supply here, you cut supply there, the price goes up. Biden is responsible for at least some of it.
Yeah, I don't think you can call the Democratic Party a party of moderation anymore. There's a story on AFN right now, American Family News. Headline is, Democrats see the radical left policies of Minnesota and Michigan as election winners. And what has happened in those two states? The radical left has taken over there. They now control the legislatures. They now control certainly the governorships there. And we're talking about the governorships in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz, and in Michigan, of course, Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And, you know, they have an agenda, and actually they're going from state to state now trying to sell that agenda. And, you know, what's high in their agenda? Well, of course, abortion is very high. And in both states, abortion is a major, major factor. Abortion, they want abortion rights. They don't want anything at all to stop those things. They want stricter gun controls. They're calling for free meals for all students in our schools, pro-LGBTQ measures across the board. So that is the Democratic Party of today. It is not the Democratic Party of 30, 40 years ago. So for sure, the American people have a very, very clear, very, very clear distinction between the two parties. And the American people are going to have to decide what kind of country they want. All right, let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840. Let's go first to West Virginia. And Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead.
I think if Gavin Newsom becomes president, he's going to do to the whole United States what he's done to San Francisco.
Yeah, and to California. The whole state there. There's no question about it. You know, he's been trying to, I appreciate your call there, Mike. He's been trying to convince people that he is somewhat more moderate in certain political circles, but he's not. He was one of the most radical governors during the pandemic. And he went after, remember, he went after churches to totally shut down their services. When at the same time, he didn't have problems with people going in and keeping, you know, liquor stores open, that kind of thing that was going on. And, of course, John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur in California fought that battle and won that battle with regards to Newsom's campaign to shut down churches during the pandemic. So, no, I agree with you, Mike. Gavin Newsom is as far to the left or even further than Joe Biden. But he is being talked about, and I think he's a man who wants the job as well. All right, to Texas, and Essence is on the line. Essence, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. The indictments against Trump actually exposed the shadow government and all the bad seeds who are serving them. And I think Trump's lawyers and the Constitution and the rights a president has regarding everything that belongs to his presidency, I think will win in court. And I think God has this. Just keep praying, please. And this is why Trump gets more people supporting him, because of the exposure. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and a lot of people would agree with you, Essence, is that people are seeing a Justice Department, a rogue Justice Department. I don't think there's any question about that. I think when former President Trump entered office way back in 2016, there were still elements in the Justice Department very dedicated to the Democratic Party. And I think even Trump did not realize how deep the deep state really was. And it's going to take somebody, perhaps the former president, perhaps a Ron DeSantis or somebody else, to go in there, and they need a clean house. That's all there is to it. I think one of the things that's been suggested, I believe, by the former president is taking the FBI, for instance, and moving the headquarters out of Washington, D.C. Get it somewhere where there's some common sense. Elijah in Kentucky, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good program, sir. I just want your thought about what former President Trump said about John McCain, because John McCain is and was my hero.
Sure.
Was it appropriate to say what he said about our hero, John McCain?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Elijah. I appreciate your question. I think John McCain will be remembered for a lot of different things. I think he'll be remembered for his service to the country when he was in the military, a prisoner of war. I think what happened in the relationship between Donald Trump and John McCain was really had to come down to, as I recollect, it was the Obamacare vote. And you remember John McCain, he was in bad health, but he flew back to Washington, D.C., and basically went with the Democrats on a particular vote. And I think that's what happened. You know, we've said it before, sometimes the former president would be advised not to be quite as vocal as he sometimes is in his criticism. I think that gets him in trouble with some conservatives. But John McCain needs to be praised, I think, for his service to the country. But sometimes, you know, even politicians who have a very stellar background, like McCain, sometimes they make mistakes. And I think that can happen. That can happen with any politician, be they Republican, and even some conservative Republicans. There have been conservative Republicans like Paul Ryan, who came under criticism when he was House Speaker, that he did not do enough in the initial days to support then President Trump. So we have to be careful. I think we can give praise where praise is due when good decisions are made. But sometimes I think, to be honest, we have to be critical of even Republicans when they will not take a stand for what should be done. But thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Elijah. Jake in Arkansas, go ahead.
Thank you for letting me say what I see, at least from my viewpoint. I don't know why our Republican leaders who have God in their platform, and those even that are rhinos that believe in God, don't come out and say, we believe in God, we have a platform, we have a book called the Bible. Mm. Those on the left, they don't seem to believe in God at all. I don't know if we're afraid of losing votes, and that's why we don't say that, but it's almost, it's the elephant in the room that nobody says anything about. And I don't know why we just don't come out and say, we do believe, we do have a Bible, it's called God's Word. Those folks on the left don't believe, they're subjective about their beliefs, and they don't have a Bible unless it's a subjective thing they wrote. I just don't get it, man.
Well, I think what's happening, and it's excellent point, Jake, excellent point. I think the left is super dedicated to their cause, which is secular humanism, which is in rebellion to God's word. There's no question about it. But I think what happens many times on the conservative side, and whether you want to keep it in the realm of politics or even as Christians, sometimes we are ashamed publicly to say, I believe this, and this is why. Because this is what the Bible says. Because we're afraid of those who are going to laugh at us. We're afraid of those who may be critical of us. Sometimes it comes down to, you know, somebody will say, okay, where does the Bible say this? And we don't know the scripture to go to defend what we believe in. But just to return it to the political realm once again, I think in the Republican Party, there is a divide. I think you have Republicans in name only, the RINOs. I've been reading reports just in the last few days that are critical of the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, Republicans that are critical of him for taking a stand and wanting to return schools to actually teaching the actual history of the country, critical of him for taking a stand for parents to speak out against what's being taught in our schools when it comes to sexuality. He took a real beating when it came to, making changes in schools that said little kids should not be exposed to sexual subjects and that parents need to be informed when these kinds of things are taking place in the curriculum of our schools. He's taken flack for that. But, you know, it's that division of values, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins out. But what it takes is Christians not to back down, to take that stand and say, this is what I believe, this is why I believe it, regardless of the cost. That's where we have to be. I think that's biblical. I think the Apostle Paul and Peter and others showed us that. All right, we're plumb out of time, folks. Great to be with you today. Good comments. Appreciate your calls. I'll be back again on Wednesday. I believe Frank Turek may be here tomorrow with you, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that program. All right, have yourself a good day. Stay tuned to American Family Radio for much more great programming, and we'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.